Let's go to the WaveFord.com hotline this morning. Let's get an outside analysis, somebody not so close to the situation. Bo Barshani of CollegePro.com is joining us, giving us his thoughts on the draft. Welcome to the show, Bo.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Bo. So overall, what's your grade for the Atlanta Falcons so far in this draft?
I give them a B. I mean, everyone loves skill positions and the high-profile names, you know, but at the end of the day, you got to build from the inside out, and, you know, they address the interior. And what you get in Lindstrom is a guy that, you know, he started to kind of emerge late as a guy that you would see on a lot of mock drafts. And, you know, you'd kind of see him in that 25 to 32 range. And I was a little bit surprised last night to see him go as high as he did. But at the end of the day, you know, I think Atlanta got themselves a sound player. And I think he's a guy that can contribute immediately. I mean, it is somewhat of a need for the team. So, you know, I don't think they went off script and just picking a position that was kind of out of, out of left field, if you will. But at the end of the day, you know, they did their work. And then, you know, I think they did well, put it that way. I don't know, you know, from talking with the guys right before we went on, it doesn't seem like the callers are that happy. But, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're going to have a good prospect there. And then, you know, again, people don't love hearing offensive linemen called off the board, but, you know, on Sundays, you know, you don't want to hear their names, but you just want to see them kind of protect Matt Ryan and have that offense do what it has to do.
Bo Barshani of CollegePro.com with John and Hugh. Because we've been Falcon station and all, and what happened yesterday, really kind of lost in Falcons land for most of the show here. But to the national draft here, a couple of surprises early in the draft. Tell me what you think of Cleveland Furrell going 4 overall to Oakland and the Giants selecting Daniel Jones and passing on Dwayne Haskins.
Well, I mean, it was a little bit of a shock seeing Furrell go number 4 just because you really never saw him in a mock draft. And I think that's where sometimes us in the media, we get caught up in the attention to just kind of, I see what you post, you see what I post. We kind of get a sense of this is where these guys are going. I mean, no team officially came out and said, hey, you know what, you know, we have, you know, Farrell ranked, you know, higher than Montez Sweat, and we have Quinnen Williams ranked higher than Josh Allen. You know, it's all perspective. It's just kind of everyone kind of follows that same trend. So it is shocking from the outside. But, you know, internally, when you're in that war room and you're a front office, you know, executive for an NFL team, you know, you keep this information, you know, locked and tight and sealed away. And if they felt that Farrell wasn't, and they might have felt that other teams felt the same about Farrell, and that stuff we'll never know. And in terms of Daniel Jones, I like the selection for New York. You know, going into this draft class, you know, if you look before the season started last year, I mean, Kyler Murray wasn't even on the radar. We just knew he was going to be the starter in Oklahoma. And there is always one sensational quarterback that always kind of emerges. I mean, Baker Mayfield was that guy a year ago. We know who he was, but he wasn't the number one pick of the draft. That was supposed to be for Sam Darnold. And then, you know, you think of Cam Newton, another guy that just comes out of nowhere for Auburn in one season. Johnny Manziel, I mean, you know, out of nowhere for Texas A&M. So this draft class, I mean, Jones was kind of in the mix. Drew Locke was in the mix the whole time. He's not even selected yet. But when you look at Jones, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Jones could be the best quarterback in this draft class. I have Jones as my number one quarterback on my quarterback list. Doesn't mean much. But, again, I have him as my number one. So when he took him, you know, when Gettleman took him there, you know, I felt comfortable because you just never know what the other teams are thinking internally. And they know a lot more than they'll ever reveal, but they probably know it amongst themselves. So, you know, those selections were a little bit shocking. But in defense of both those teams, I think those picks were well-deserved. Because Farrell, I mean, that whole Clemson front with Dexter, Lawrence and Christian Wilkins, I mean, those guys are phenomenal. And, you know, from what they've done at the collegiate level, and if they're coached up the right way, they should be impact players.
You know, that's what I love about the NFL draft, man. It's always guys that go in the first round that we have never really talked about. Just like this guy, Titus Howard from Alabama State. You know, I got to get his swag a little shout out being from HBCU myself. What do you see from him, and what can he bring to the table for the Houston Texans?
You know, I'm glad you brought him up because we work with so many small school guys. And, we had him on our show. We were familiar with him. I never thought he would be a first-round guy. But like you said, Titus Howard, these are the guys that kind of make the draft fun, like you said. I mean, Alabama State, you're expecting to hear Alabama. You're expecting to hear, another Crimson Tide come off. But, I think Watson was the most sacked quarterback last year. I think the most sacked quarterback prior to that was John Kitna. So, and you think about Watson, I mean, he's an athletic kid. He's not just some statue in the pocket that doesn't move. So they had to protect him a little outside the box. I mean, you're thinking of Jawan Taylor from Florida still on the board, Kansas State, Dalton Risner. I mean, there's still a lot of talented, but again, it's, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, the Texans felt, hey, this is our guy. And trust me, they're not going to make this move if they didn't think another team was kind of searching for the same guy and think they have a diamond in the rough. So a lot of times when they think these teams reach, and some may, I mean, you know, Sebastian Janikowski is a kicker in the first round. That's a reach. But these type of players, in all honesty, they had to have a sense that another team was thinking the same thing, and they just fell in love with the guy, and they had to have him.
Talking with Bo Marchione of CollegeToPro.com, day after the draft, Falcons go out and get two offensive linemen. We know who the best players are on the board, at least by the draft analysts. I mean, you mentioned a couple of offensive linemen. You still have the two Mississippi wide receivers, Drew Locks out there, guys like Rocky Asin and Greedy Williams. I am curious, though, where the Falcons go. They don't have a second and third. They have two fours and two fifths. Now, we think, Bo, that they'll try and trade back into the third round. It's just what we think, that they may try to draft into the third round. So they've solidified their offensive line. They've gotten two big dollar free agents, and they've gotten two first-round picks. All right, what about the running game? No Tevin Coleman. Will the Falcons go into the running back slot? And if they do, Josh Jacobs is the only running back off the board. Will a Damian Harris be there in round three? Will a, a big-name guy, or is it a case where you're just going to have to kind of hope you can, you know, hit it and get lucky in round four or five?
I think Atlanta, if they want to address that, and one guy I'm excited about Atlanta, and he was a late round, I think fifth round pick last year, was Ito Smith. I think there's some upside with Ito Smith, but if they're going to address the running back position, I mean, you know, you can look pretty deep into this draft. I mean, you know, Rodney Anderson's coming off the ACL injury from Oklahoma. When he's healthy, he's as good as any running back in the nation. So I think in the fourth round, fifth round, you're going to get those quality guys. I mean, a guy like Benny Snell from Kentucky might slip. You know, it's just the way the NFL kind of perceives running backs. They just don't, you know, unless you're a Todd Gurley or a Zeke Elliott, they're not going to place that tremendous value on you, and they get pushed down the board. And tonight, I mean, we had two receivers last night. I think possibly tonight in the second round, I mean, we could maybe see, I mean, I know in 2008 we saw no receivers in the first round. We saw 10 taken in the second. So I think tonight, in terms of receivers and running backs, I think you're going to see a litany of those guys come off the board. So, for everyone who loves fantasy football, tonight is your night to watch all the skill guys come off the board in terms of those positions. But, Atlanta can get a quality guy. I mean, Dexter Williams from Notre Dame, Mike Weber from Ohio State. Those are just some of the few guys that are going to be around. Maybe Elijah Holyfield from Georgia, you know, bring the homeschool kid in to play for the Falcons. I mean, he'll be right around in the mix in the fourth or fifth round. So there's going to be a quality running back for Atlanta if they want to take those guys on day three.
You know, that's what I was about to ask you about, but you already answered the question, Elijah Holyfield. I was going to kind of wondering, what do you think he's going to go? Is he going to be a guy that goes tonight, or he's probably going to have to wait to Saturday? So you're thinking that he's going to probably be a guy that gets off the board tonight?
I think he'll get off the board Saturday. I think. I don't know if he'll go tonight. I'm hearing fourth, fifth round, which is not bad, again, just because of the way the nature of the position is. I would take him higher personally. I like to go in trends, and when you look at the current track record of what, you know, the Bulldogs have been doing in terms of pumping out quality NFL running backs. I say the same thing about LSU and Greedy Williams and Byron Murphy in Washington. You know, you look at the last decade of prospects that they've kind of brought from the secondary position. They just really know how to develop these guys. They know what to see in high school, and they know how to develop them at the collegiate level. And I think Georgia's done that with the running backs. I mean, you look at, you know, Gurley, you look at Sony Michel, you look at Nick Chubb, and, you know, who's next in line? Oh, this kid named, you know, Elijah Holyfield. You know, his dad has the DNA of a terrific athlete. So, I mean, he has all the makings to be that guy. And, you know, hey, Frank Gore was a late pick out of Miami. So just because you go in the fourth, fifth round doesn't mean you can, you know, you can't turn yourself into a superstar. But I would be shocked if we see Elijah Holyfield come off the board tonight. But I would love to see him come off the board tonight, because I think he's definitely worthy of a third round pick.
I do appreciate it, Bo. Thanks for jumping into the program. Bo Marchione of CollegeToPro.com. Thanks, Bo.
Have a great week, guys.